Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 477, titled The Congress Bundestag Program on September 11th. This has been recorded on September 26th of the year 2004. Before we begin, remember, the Spitfire website, all kinds of goodies, long article-length descriptions of each For the Record program, links to two stations maintained by sister station WFMU that have the whole For the Record series online, available for free on Real Audio, more recent programs streaming at one website, others available for download only at another linked website. Also the book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, a search function, and also a link to a website maintained by listeners in the Middle West that actually has the documents documenting the Bush family's links with the Third Reich business, including after World War II. This program is going to be, first of all, let me give a big, big tip of the hat to a member of the listening audience. One of the most gratifying things about doing what I do is to see people become researchers in their own right and really sink their teeth into the material and acquire excellence. And a very astute listener is doing just that. This was the fellow who helped out with the research. In fact, he helped out. He produced the research that I used last week, and he is the individual responsible for both of the programs that you're going to be hearing in this next hour. So a big, big tip of the hat. What we're going to be looking at in this program are some of the German connections of Mohammed Atta, the apparent leader of the September 11th hijackers. We're going to be taking a look not only at his numerous German associates and Austrian associates in Florida when he was undergoing flight training, we're also going to be taking a look at the Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft, named for one of the primary executives of IG Farben, the Nazi chemical cartel in the early part of this century, and we're going to be taking a look at how Mohammed Atta apparently was trafficking around, or being trafficked around, both in Germany and perhaps the U.S. under the auspices of the Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft. The Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft is part of the Congress Bundestag program, and on the same website that is dedicated, and on the Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft website, is another part of the Congress Bundestag program, and that is the Karl Bosch Fellowship. And one of the beneficiaries of the Karl Bosch Fellowship was John O. Schmitz, the very formidable law partner with the German international law firm Mayer Brown, former counsel or deputy counsel to the elder George Bush, and a key player in not only the Iran-Contra and Iraqgate machinations, but also someone who, through by virtue of his connections to Mayer Brown, is implicated in a number of the lawsuits that have derived from September 11th. And John O. Schmitz, of the very formidable Schmitz family, was a beneficiary of the Robert Bosch Fellowship, part of the same program as the Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft, and Mohammed Atta was a beneficiary of that. Now, we're going to be turning to a very important book. It's called Welcome to Terrorland by Daniel Hopsicker, a Florida-based researcher who's doing some excellent work on September 11th. This is published by the Mad Cow Press, basically an outlet for Daniel Hopsicker, and the full ISBN number, etc., will be on in the description for this program on the Spitfire website when it is ready. We're going to review some information that we've looked at before. Namely, we're going to be taking a look at the large number of German associates that Mohammed Atta was associated with in Florida. Reading from Welcome to Terrorland, but this, by the way, talks about experiences of Amanda Keller, who was Mohammed Atta's girlfriend in Florida for a time. Before reaching Key West, they rendezvoused with Atta's German friends, skipping down. Peter and Stefan were the two German men that Atta's Northport landlord said the girls met on the trip. Quote, the two girls were introduced to two men from Germany that they said were Mohammed's friends, Tony LaConca told The Sun, unquote. Again quoting, I thought it was strange because Mohammed didn't appear to be French-Canadian or German. When the group checked into a hotel in Key West, there was also something odd about the room assignments. Quote, we rented three different rooms in Key West, unquote, Amanda said. Again quoting, in one room nobody slept. It was where they put their flight bags. Then they locked the room down. Peter and Stefan slept in one room, and me, Mohammed, and Linda slept in the same room. Unquote. Skipping down. More puzzling was learning of Atta's deep ties with a number of Germans. Quote, Muhammad called certain people, Arabic people, my brother, unquote. And I was wondering how he had so many family members. Like gang members do, quote, this is my brother, unquote, she said. But not all Arabs. So it wasn't like anyone Muslim was his brother. He called Wolfgang and Jürgen my brother, too. He and Wolfgang were very tight. They went everywhere together. When he came into the picture, they were together all the time, unquote. Him and Jürgen acted like they had known each other forever. He told me he went back and forth to Germany but lived in France, unquote. Jürgen was a pervert, straight out, she said. Every woman that walked by, he had something to say to them, commenting on their expletive deleted or whatever. He would go up to a woman and say, hi, I'm from Germany. I want to touch an American woman's expletive deleted. He was a lush in his mid-30s, unquote. Who was this Wolfgang? Who was this Jürgen? Skipping down again. From information gleaned first in interviews with Amanda Keller, Atta's one-time American girlfriend, and corroborated by independent sources in Venice and Naples, Florida, we confirmed at least seven of Mohammed Atta's close associates in Florida during the year leading up to the 9/11 attack were European, German, Swiss, and French. Today we know at least something, but by no means enough about the identities of each. Their names haven't surfaced in any press accounts about Atta's stay in the U.S., nor has their existence been mentioned or alluded to in official statements. We know they were all pilots. According to Amanda, all of them already had pilot licenses from other countries when they arrived in the U.S. Traveling with Atta or meeting him around the state, Atta's European friends appeared to share relationships with him of long standing. Their meetings were serious business. When they returned, said Amanda, Atta and his German associates, quote, always came back glum, unquote. Only one of the seven still resides in the U.S. Five live in Germany or Switzerland. The seventh has a criminal record in his native Germany and today lives in Saudi Arabia. Cab driver Bob Simpson referred to Rudy and Mohammed as partners in crime, unquote. He thought the two men shared both social and business connections. He said they were very close socially. As we've seen on one pickup during the summer of 2001, Simpson drove them to Sarasota to a bar on Main Street. Amanda had made frequent references to a close friend of Atta's named Wolfgang, a friend so close Atta called him my brother, unquote. Again quoting, he called certain people, Arabic people, my brother, Amanda said, and I was wondering how he had so many family members, like gang members do, you know, this is my brother, but not all Arabs. So it wasn't like anyone who was Muslim was his brother, unquote. He called Wolfgang and Jürgen my brother, she said. He and Wolfgang were very tight. They went everywhere together. When he came into the picture, they were together all the time. Keller said Atta always spoke German with Wolfgang, which contradicts the testimony of Rudy Deckers to a congressional committee that when he addressed Atta in German, Atta merely looked at him strangely. By the way, Rudy Deckers was the head of Huffman Aviation, one of the Florida-based aviation schools at which this group was training, and it appears to have had strong connections to organized crime and intelligence elements involved with drug trafficking. Continuing, Wolfgang's story, according to people we spoke with who knew him, includes a life studded with things like sailing around the world on a 47-foot yacht, on a trip where he met his wife, Sujita, a native of Bombay. But when we went looking for Wolfgang, we found him through records of his scrapes with authorities in Florida. In airport records in Naples, he was referenced in Aerojet ambassador correspondence. A letter was sent by a former employee soliciting to offer private flight instruction without authority and in violation of FAA rules. Wolfgang Boringer is a pilot in his 30s. In the spring of 2002, he became a naturalized U.S. citizen. He was one of the first of the German element, unquote, to arrive in Florida in 1996 when he opened a flight school in Naples. Prior to arriving in Naples, he was associated with an organization called the Flying Club of Munich, unquote, in Augsburg, Germany. Like Rudy and Wally, Wolfgang was notorious in aviation circles for bad behavior, quote, Wolfgang showed up from Munich in the mid-1990s and immediately began operating a flight school illegally, stated Marcus Huber, a flight instructor in Naples. He's half Swiss, half German. Also like Rudy and Wally, Wolfgang seemed to have a hall pass from federal authorities. This embittered other foreign flight trainers not similarly well-connected. Quote, when Wolfgang applied for an E-2 visa, he made up a fake company, a cleaning service, unquote, Huber told us. Again quoting, sometimes it makes me mad that a criminal gets preference, unquote. Welcome to Terrorland. Wolfgang was instrumental in bringing another of Otto's German associates to Florida. A pilot named Stefan, who has done jail time in Germany, was on parole when he came to the U.S. and thus was not supposed to be flying. But, quote, being connected means never having to say you're sorry, unquote. And while regular German flight students struggle to obtain the necessary visas, Wolfgang and Stefan had inside connections which smoothed their progress. Stefan purchased Wolfgang's flight training business. Two other close German associates of Mohammed Atta's in Florida were brothers, Peter and Stefan Verhaeren. Quote, Stefan did 8 months of jail time, unquote, Huber told us. He was convicted October 1, 1997 and released from parole in November of 2000. Wolfgang signed off on Stefan's books, and so Stefan also got in on a fraudulent business and a business investor's visa, unquote. Yet Stefan was running a Florida flight school, although there are more than a few laws that said he shouldn't have been. Presumably, the FAA was looking the other way, unquote. Stefan today reportedly flies in Saudi Arabia for a Swiss carrier, Farnair. Atta also was often seen with Rudy's head flight instructor, François Nicolai. He's another guy with no papers, an aviation source told us, but at least he's an excellent pilot. He's French and Swiss, unquote. From what she saw, Amanda said that all of Atta's friends, with the exception of Marwan al-Shahi, were either German and Dutch, including Dutchman Rudy Dekkers and Arnie Krutoff, and another man from the Netherlands named Paul. There was also Arnie Krutoff's agent from Munich, as well as his business partner and aviation aspirations, Pascal Schreier. Pascal was close to Boehringer, Atta's closest friend among the German nationals. Pascal Schreier is married to a woman named Sandra Hamouda, French-Tunisian, who, as we have seen, bought the bankrupt flight school in Punta Gorda where Atta hung out early in 2001. She's an executive with a Florida flight school called Pelican Flight Training Center, a fact we might have overlooked except for a curious coincidence, unquote. When the New York Times did a two-year anniversary story on 9/11 called Hard Times Are Plaguing Flight Schools in Florida, unquote, September 14, 2003, focusing on the fact that pilot training schools in Florida have been struggling since 9/11, the two schools profiled in the story are Magic Dutch Boy Arnie Krutoff's and Pelican Flight Training Center, where Pascal Schreier's wife works. There are over 220 flight schools in Florida. That the New York Times profiled these two well-connected schools is no doubt just a freak coincidence. Another old friend of Atta's was a German named Jürgen, who was not the smoothest of operators. Quote, Jürgen was a pervert, straight out, Amanda had said. He was a lush mid-30s. Every woman that walked by, he had something to say to them, commenting on their expletive deleted or whatever. He would go up to a woman and say, I'm from Germany and I want to touch an American woman's expletive deleted. We may have found Jürgen working as a realtor in nearby Sarasota. Amanda recognized him from the picture in a Yahoo Swingers profile. Kurgis Jürgen is the owner of Europe One, a company whose Florida incorporation papers lists the phone number of the Continental Cafe in Sarasota, a fictitious business name of Casablanca Rose Incorporated, whose two directors are Abeltif Mamdou and Mustafa Etaki. Although he did tell us unprompted that he knew many people in the FBI, Jürgen denied knowing Atta. And because we don't have a second source for the identification, we have to leave open the possibility that Amanda's photo confirmation was in error. But not everyone has business partners named Abeltif and Mustafa. The fact that Atta was being subsidized by U.S. taxpayers while he was in Hamburg hasn't been played up anywhere that we know about. But it's true. For at least four of Atta's 7 years living in Hamburg, he was part of a joint venture, unquote, between the U.S. and German governments. An elite international, quote, exchange, unquote, program run by a little-known private organization which has close ties to powerful American political figures like David Rockefeller and former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger. This fact has escaped notice as well. Before becoming a terrorist ringleader, Atta enjoyed the patronage of a government initiative known as the Kongress-Bundestag program, unquote, overseen by the U.S. State Department and the German Ministry of Economic Cooperation and Development, the German equivalent of the U.S. Agency for International Development. The jointly funded U.S.-German government effort picked up the tab for Atta on sojourns in Cairo, Istanbul, and Aleppo in Syria during the years 1994 and 1995, as well as employing him as a tutor and seminar participant, unquote, during 1996 and 7. Atta's financial relationship with the U.S.-German government program probably extends back to his initial move from Egypt to Germany in 1992. The news that Mohammed Atta had been on the payroll of the elite international program only surfaced in a whisper, just as quietly as news that Venice flight schools had trained a third terrorist pilot. It was in a brief, seven-line report by German newspaper Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung on October 18, 2001, under the headline, "Atta was tutor for scholarship holders," unquote. The story quoted spokesman for Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft, unquote, described as a, quote, "German international further education organization as having admitted paying Hamburg cadre principal Atta as a, quote, scholarship holder," unquote, and tutor, unquote, between 1995 and 1997. When we found it, what seemed to make this story especially curious is that the German paper concealed the truly shocking implication of their story, that Mohammed Atta had been on the payroll of a joint U.S.-German government program. They did this through the simple expedient of neglecting to mention in the article that the Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft, unquote, was a private entity administering the exchange initiative of the two governments. Maybe they forgot. The U.S. end of the program, we discovered, is run out of an address at United Nations Plaza in New York by the U.S. arm called CDS International. The letters stand for Karl Duisberg Society, also the name of its German counterpart in Cologne, the Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft. They are named for the German chemist and industrialist who headed the Bayer Corporation during the 1920s. And bear in mind, of course, Bayer was a principal element of IG Farben. And IG Farben, one of the principal German multinational, well, IG Farben has been broken up into its component companies, but still the companies that came out of that, including Bayer, are at the very forefront of international business. And the IG Farben cartel and its member companies, the companies that came out of it, principal elements of the Bormann organization, the economic and political component of a Third Reich gone underground, perpetuated in mafia style due to its tremendous economic influence, and its corporate connections around the world, including and especially the United States, as well as its links through the intelligence community to numerous countries' national security establishments. Skipping down, by the way, both David Rockefeller and Henry Kissinger closely associated with elements of the underground Reich. Skipping down. CDS International, states the organization's literature, provides opportunities for young German engineers. Mohammed Atta wasn't, strictly speaking, a young German engineer, unquote, but apparently Kissinger's praise for career development programs for participants from other countries as well had been taken to heart. These young German engineers can earn real-world experience and are given assignments to contribute from the start, a program spokesman enthused in a newspaper interview. The organization is today understandably shy about mentioning that their most famous recent graduate's real-world experience included murdering almost 3,000 people in New York City in slightly less than 2 hours. A financial relationship between the terrorist ringleader and the U.S. and German governments has not previously even been hinted at in America's major media. The conspiracy-minded might conclude that this may owe something to the program's raft of politically powerful boosters giving it, quote, big juice, unquote. We prefer to think of it as an oversight. Having big juice, unquote, may also explain omissions in the story about Mohammed Atta's time in Germany in the March 7, 2003 Chicago Tribune. Under the headline, 9/11 haunts hijacker sponsors, German couple talks of living with pilot Atta, unquote, the article described the 1992 meeting in Cairo between Atta and a German couple running an international student exchange program, unquote. Otto was recruited in Cairo by this mysterious German couple dubbed the hijacker's sponsors, unquote. It was this meeting, said the Tribune, which led Otto to move to Hamburg. But although Tribune correspondent Stevenson Swanson cites this German couple for having played such an important role in Atta's move to Germany, end quote, he never gives their names, nor that of the organization they worked for. We thought good journalism was all about, you know, who, what, when, where, why. The Chicago Tribune got unaccountably stuck on who. During a visit to the Egyptian capital in the fall of 1991, the Tribune reported, the German couple stayed with friends who knew Atta's father, a Cairo lawyer, and his father's friends had then introduced the German couple to Atta. Atta, who had recently graduated with a degree in architectural engineering from the University of Cairo, told the couple he wanted to study architecture in Germany, but he had no particular idea where he should go, the paper reported. Though the article neglects to mention it, the reason Atta found himself with no particular idea where he should go was that although he'd studied engineering at prestigious Cairo University, he hadn't done well enough to gain admission to its graduate school. The paper quotes the German wife telling investigators, quote, in this first conversation, we suggested he continue his studies in Hamburg and offered him a place to live at our house, unquote. Otto, she states, accepted their offer right away. This magnanimous gesture by the German couple to an undistinguished young man they have just met may be normal behavior for this couple. Perhaps their gesture was just the very milk of human kindness. Then again, perhaps it's something else. Why did this German couple leap at the opportunity to help a young man not considered promising enough to gain entrance to graduate school in Cairo? Offering him a place to live at their own home? The Tribune doesn't say. It also fails to identify either the couple or the, quote, international, unquote, program they ran. The story is 1,200 words in length. So it's not as if they didn't report the names for space reasons. Jane and John Doe from Help a Student International would have sufficed. Just an extra 10 words and they would have had it. You know, who, what, when, where, why. Either the Tribune just forgot the who, or something more sinister occurred. After studying German in Cairo, Otto arrived in Germany on July 24, 1992, according to investigators' records, and then lived rent-free for at least the next 6 months in the couple's home in a quiet, middle-class neighborhood. Since just 3 years later, Otto was on the payroll of the Congress Bundestag program, unquote, it's reasonable to conclude, no thanks to the Chicago Tribune, that this was the exchange program responsible for bringing him to Germany in the first place. CDS International's elite sponsors are apparently influential enough to have kept their organization's name out of the newspapers, or at any rate, out of the Chicago Tribune. So again, Carl Duisberg, Gesellschaft, named for an IG Farben executive, a very, very interesting institution indeed. Now, as mentioned in the beginning of the broadcast, the Carl Duisberg Gesellschaft is part of a program, again, the Congress Bundestag program, that embraces other fellowships as well. The annotation for the webpage I'm about to be reading from will be in the description for the Record 477 when it goes up in a week or so. But on the very same webpage as the Carl Duisberg Gesellschaft, which sponsored Mohammed Atta's travels in Germany and quite possibly the U.S., we also find another of these fellowship programs run by the Congress Bundestag program, the Robert Bosch Foundation Fellowship Program. By the way, this is named for the Robert Bosch GmbH company, a powerful German-based multinational firm with very strong influence in the United States, and it was one of those firms that represented a principal element of the transatlantic financial and industrial axis that was at the very core of Third Reich finance and industry, something we've spoken about so many times. For the first time, in Miscellaneous Archive Show M11, recorded on May 23rd, 1980, that's available from Spitfire, called Uncle Sam and the Swastika. Now, in For the Record programs 469 and 476, we spoke about the very formidable Schmitz family. There was John G. Schmitz, an ultra-right-wing congressman from Southern California who ultimately was too right-wing for the John Birch Society. And he had a great many children, including some by his German mistress, a whole second family that he kept. Two of his sons, again, very, very capable and very formidable individuals, have moved into positions of prominence and are in very, very strategic positions vis-a-vis the September 11th investigation. Last week, we took a look at, among others, Joseph Schmitz, who is the Inspector General of the Pentagon, and as such is involved in many different very sensitive investigations relating to September 11th and related subjects. Joseph Smith also is a member of the Ultra-Reactionary Federalist Society. He's a Knight of Malta. He is a member of the American Council on Germany. Now, another member of the American Council on Germany, again founded by people close to the Underground Reich and the Transatlantic Financial and Industrial Axis, which we speak about so often, with the two of the people, John J. McCloy and Eric Warburg, were part of that. Now, another member of the American Council on Germany was John G. Schmitz, the son of John P. Schmitz, the son of John G. Schmitz. John G. Schmitz is the elder, the ultra-reactionary congressman now deceased from Southern California. John P. Schmitz is his son, who is a partner with the international German-based law firm Mayer Brown. Again, John P. Schmitz is also a member of the American Council on Germany and speaks fluent German. And his law firm maintains accounts for many different clients, not only German-based multinationals associated with the Bormann Group and the Underground Reich, but also is involved, that Mayer Brown law firm is involved with many of the pieces of litigation and investigation that have come out of September 11th. Investigations relating to the Bayer firm, again, the head of which the CDS is named for, the United Airlines suit, and others are lawsuits that Mayer Brown is in a key position to effect. It is a very interesting state of affairs indeed. John P. Schmitz was also the deputy counsel to the elder George Bush when he was vice president and president, and appears to have been involved in the Iraqgate and Iran-Contra affairs. Repeating an element that we've looked at from the curriculum vitae of John P. Schmitz, one of the things that he benefited from was the Robert Bosch Foundation Fellowship, which put him in touch with offices of the Bundestag and former CDU officials now involved with American legal machinations. So, John P. Schmitz, the key partner in Mayer Brown and a former deputy counsel to the elder George Bush, was a beneficiary of one of those same programs, the same program as Mohammed Atta. Spitfire, www.spitfirelist.com, CD duplication service stocks, all of the programs I've done, descriptions of all of the shows, article-length annotated descriptions of the For the Record programs. In addition to that, the Spitfire website has links to two websites maintained by the heroic sister station WFMU-FM, which has more recent For the Record programs streaming on real audio and older programs available for download only at a link to both that and also to the Spitfire website. Spitfire website also has a search function, the book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, and a link to a website from the Midwest that has actual copies of all of the declassified U.S. government documents proving the Bush family's involvement with Nazi industry, including Prescott Bush Sr.'s involvement with institutions moving Nazi monies abroad after World War II, part of the Flight Capital Program. This concludes For the Record program number 477, the Congress Bundestag program 9/11. This has been recorded on September 26th of 2004. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.